A little baseball analogy might be in line at this moment. The starting pitcher of the Blue Jays is injured, and there is an emergency call-up. This morning, I am your emergency call-up, and I shouldn't say I had a phone call. There was a phone call at our house this morning, about 30 minutes before we were to leave for church. And I wasn't privileged to hear the whole conversation. I heard half of it, and Doris was talking with my wife. And I knew immediately, I did not have to hear the story, I knew immediately from Lorraine's side of the conversation that Pastor Mark's dad had gone home to be with the Lord. And the morning continued. I was getting ready to leave. Lorraine says, it's time to go. We're out to the car. I was out to the car. I wasn't in the car yet, but I was out to the car. And I have to believe now that God spoke to me. And he said, go back into the house, grab a sermon, and go to church. And so I did so. And so I came in, and I had a conversation with Pastor Mark this morning. And it was decided that I would share from the Lord's word this morning. Pastor Terrell will be sharing next Sunday. Mark will be away for the next week as he attends to family matters. At days like this, we remember that our pastor is a man just like any other man. And I remember the days. I will share this before we get to the scripture. I remember the days, how old are you, Elspeth? 29, it'd be 28 years ago. 28 years ago, Lorraine's mother was very sick, and she was dying, and we got a phone call on a Monday morning. Lorraine got a phone call from her father and said, you better come. I was at a meeting at the church. Lorraine called me. I went in and I talked with the deacons that I was meeting with that morning, and they said, go. So I went. We went home, we got packed, and we went down to the city. And when we got to the city, we went straight to the hospital, and we saw Lorraine's mom. And then there was a family meeting with the doctors who told us there was nothing more that could be done. And then that next morning, Lorraine's mom died. And then I was thinking, well, you know, there is a funeral coming up, but Sunday is coming too. So I left Lorraine and the children in the city, and I went home to get ready. And my deacons came to me that morning and said, go back to the city, go back to your family. We will take care of everything. And so this morning, we are taking care of everything for our pastor. He needs our pastoral care at this time. So, from here on out, ignore the bulletin. It does not speak the truth. Our scripture reading is not from the Gospel of John, but it is from Jeremiah. Chapter 20, we'll begin reading at verse 7 and read to the end of the chapter. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, vengeance and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is a fire that is burning within me, shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and then we can overcome him. and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous and sees the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Cursed be the day on which I was born. When my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father. A son is born to you, making him very glad. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb, so my mother would have been my grave, and her womb forever great. Why did I come out from the womb? To see toil and sorrow, and spend my days in shame. Not exactly the most uplifting piece of scripture. It is very important, though. And I want us, out of this passage of scripture, interestingly enough, I want us to consider listening to God. Jeremiah was speaking for God, but I want us to consider listening to God. And the example is the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is an interesting person to examine because he has left something of his heart in his writings. And we see something of his inner thoughts. We see something of the struggles that he had with the task that God had given him to do. Jeremiah was a prophet. And if we're going to think about this prophet, we need to think about what a prophet is. To put it simply, a prophet is someone who spoke for God. The message was not the creation of the prophet. The message was from God. Now, becoming a prophet is not a choice that we get to make. God calls his prophets. Now, in fact, in one time in the Bible, God went so far as to call a donkey to be his prophet. And if you want to hear about the donkey who was a prophet for God, you go to Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 to 31, and you can read about Balaam and his donkey, the donkey who was the prophet for God. God was trying to get Balaam's attention, and the way he got it was through a talking donkey. The direction to deliver a message also comes from God. God decides the time, the place, and the audience for the message that he wants to be delivered. Look at the example of Jonah. God called Jonah and gave him a message. And most of us are familiar with the story about Jonah and the great fish and all of that. But there is a story in there. God had called Jonah to be a prophet and gave him a message and told him the people to which he was to speak it, but Jonah didn't like God's plan. And Jonah thinks, and this shows how small human thinking can be at times, Jonah thinks that he can run away from God. So God calls him to go to Nineveh. Jonah goes in exactly the opposite direction. If I get away from God, if I get out to Tarshish, I should be safe. God won't be there. Jonah doesn't get to Tarshish. He gets on the boat, but that's about the end of it as far as his running away from God. He tries to run away from God. God has other plans. God redirects Jonah. And he has Jonah go to Nineveh. And Jonah goes and he preaches against the city. And in God's grace, the people of Nineveh hear the message of God and repent and are saved from the destruction that Jonah said was coming upon them. It was God's message delivered at God's time to the people that God wanted it to be delivered to. And it was effective. The second thing that we need to note about biblical prophecy is how God's people determine if a prophet is speaking. Because lots of people are going to stand up and say, I'm a prophet. I'm going to tell you what God's about to do, what God is doing, what God wants you to hear. But we need to be able to decide if someone who's saying that they are a prophet is actually a prophet. And there are several signs to recognize a true prophet of God. A true prophet of God will speak in God's name. He'll say, this is the word of the Lord, or words to that effect. This is the word of the Lord. I'm not talking to you now. God's talking to you. A true prophet speaks in the name of God. It's not the prophet's words, it's God's words. The second test of a prophet is the accuracy test. 100% accuracy is required for God's prophets. No mistakes, no errors, no omissions. You look at the people that people say today are prophets, if they get anywhere close to 50% accuracy, that's pretty good. But that's not a biblical prophecy. Biblical prophecy is 100% accurate. What the prophet says always comes to be. And there is a third test, and it is the consistency test. A prophet cannot disagree with God's revelation. A modern-day prophet cannot stand up in front of an audience and say, you know that commandment about adultery? You don't have to worry about that anymore. If a prophet says that, then they are not a prophet of God. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, there is this expression. If we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you now, let him be eternally condemned. A prophet cannot challenge God's revealed word. And these tests of a prophet were so serious that a prophet who failed to measure up was executed. There was no second chance. So, who wants to be a prophet? Any volunteers here this morning? Put your hand up if you want to be a prophet. You want to be a prophet? Oh, wise people. It is a dangerous job to be a prophet. And yet the work of godly prophets was highly valued by the church. If you look in your scriptures, and I'm not going to read the whole scripture here. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, there is a list of gifts that God gives to the church to equip the people of the church for service. And these gifts that God gives to his people are the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So the church values the work of prophets. In fact, our scripture is full of the works and the writings of the prophets. But if you dare to aspire to become a prophet, think carefully about what you aspire to. Consider the example of Jeremiah. It is a thankless task to be a prophet of God. At least that was Jeremiah's experience. There wasn't people following him around saying, oh, Jeremiah, you're such a wonderful guy. Let me help you out. Let me buy you a nice house that you can live in. Let me do wonderful things. Let me publish your works for you, so everybody can know how great a man you are, that you speak for God. No, that wasn't Jeremiah's experience. It was a thankless task. It is particularly a thankless task when the prophet's job is condemning sin. And when people don't want to hear the hard words from God, they only want to hear the comforting words. We can be a very fickle people. We want to hear only what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. The kind of people that we need to be is people who are open to listening to God's word, to what God has to say. That's the kind of people we need to be. So let's consider Jeremiah. Jeremiah's background, he sets it out at the beginning of his book that bears his name. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the tribe of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of Josiah, king of Ammon, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, and throughout the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. So what does this little introduction tell us about Jeremiah, the days that he lived in? It tells us that he lives in the most tumultuous time of the kingdom of Judah. It is the last days of the kingdom of Judah. And if we were to characterize what was going on in the kingdom of Judah in these days, not that there weren't good people in those days, but if we were to characterize what was going on in those days, it would be like this. It was the final descent of a people who had completely turned their backs on God. They were resolutely heading towards that righteous judgment that God had told them would come their way if they ignored God and God's word. Now, it would have been very difficult to live in those days. Terror and destruction would have been on every side. All around them, the cities and towns and villages of the kingdom of Judah would have been destroyed one by one by the invading armies that were coming against God's people. And while those who lived in Jerusalem remained relatively safe, all of this was happening around them. It would have been difficult days, if you were a follower of God, to live in that time. But try to imagine that in those days, when everything was just so awful, and people were not listening to God, imagine that you were called to be God's prophet and had to speak God's word to those people who really didn't want to listen to God anyways. Jeremiah was called to be God's prophet, God's spokesman, to such a godless society. And it is a mission that he completed faithfully. And in our scripture reading this morning, we saw how Jeremiah wrestled with God and the mission that God had given him. In my Bible, the editors of the Bible put these little section headings in that sometimes are helpful, but sometimes not. But in this case, they call this section of Scripture Jeremiah's Complaint. And as you look at that Scripture, you can see how Jeremiah is given that title, or that title is given to that portion of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is saying, oh my goodness, how much longer do I have to do this, God? Look again at chapter 20, verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And you can see in these words the dilemma that Jeremiah faced. He no longer wanted to be God's prophet. He doesn't want to speak about God anymore. He doesn't want to deliver God's message to people who refuse to listen. He is tired of being ridiculed and persecuted. He is tired of speaking for God and not making one bit of difference in the way that people were living and in what was happening in his society. He is asking of himself, where is the confession of the people who are sinning against God? Where is the confession? Where is the repentance, the turning away from sin? It's not there. And in his own strength, Jeremiah is saying, I can't do this, God. It is too hard. I don't want to be your prophet anymore. But Jeremiah acknowledges that there is a source of power. Chapter 20, verses 11 to 13. The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the needy from the hands of the wicked. So in his complaint, Jeremiah recognizes and realizes that the God whom he serves is greater than any problems or difficulties that he will face or is currently facing. Although he has and he will continue to complain about the hardships of serving God, Jeremiah will continue to listen to God and do what God asks him to do. Can we complain to God? Jeremiah did. I'm reminded there is this parable that Jesus told in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. It's a parable about two sons, and so the man had two sons, and he had a vineyard. It was the time that work needed to be done in the vineyard, so he asks his first son to go and work in the vineyard. The first son refused the father's request. I'm not going to work in the vineyard. I've already done it 10 days in a row. I don't want to do it again. I'm not going to the vineyard. He refuses to go, but eventually he does go and work in the vineyard. Now the second son, the father goes, well, he got a refusal, so he goes to ask the second son. So he goes to ask the second son, and the second son did the exact opposite. I'd be glad to go, Dad. I'll go to the vineyard. I'll go do the work. But he never went. So the question Jesus asks in the telling of the parable is, which son did the will of his father? And the answer is the son who went and worked in the vineyard did what the father wanted. You see, we can be like Jeremiah. We can be unhappy with the work that God is doing. We can be unhappy about the job that God has given us. We can be unhappy about the opposition that we face as we stand for God. We can complain to God about all of this. The question is, do we listen to God when he speaks and trusting his mighty power to do what he says he is going to do through us? What must have been frustrating for our friend Jeremiah is that he had been called by God to be a prophet of God. He had listened to God and he had faithfully shared the message that was entrusted to him with God's people, and all that came back to him was at best indifference and at worst outright hostility. There is an incident that illustrates this. Later on in the book of Jeremiah. So God instructs Jeremiah to write down all of the prophecies that God had given to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah calls a man named Baruch. Baruch is a scribe, a man skilled in writing. And they prepare a scroll, and it is all of Jeremiah's prophecies to that point in time were written down on the scroll. It happened during the reign of King Jehoiakim. And all of the prophecies are written down, and so it is all done. And when the scroll is complete, Jeremiah has Baruch, the scribe, take the scroll to the temple, and he instructs Baruch, when he gets to the temple, take that scroll that we have written down all these prophecies on and read it to the people. So Baruch does this. He goes to the temple. He begins reading from the scroll of Jeremiah the prophet. And eventually, there is a great fuss that happens because this scroll is being read to the people in the temple courts. And eventually, the scroll is taken to the king. Now, Baruch doesn't travel along with the scroll. The scroll itself is taken to the king. And it is taken into the king's court, and someone is asked to read the scroll of the prophet Jeremiah to the king. And as each section of the scroll is read, the king takes a knife And he cuts the section of the scroll that has been read. He cuts that off the scroll. And then he takes the piece that has been read to him and he throws it into the fire. And that happens as each section of the scroll of the prophet Jeremiah is read. It is cut off by the king and thrown into the fire. And eventually, the whole scroll of the prophet Jeremiah has been read to the king, and the king has cut all of the words of God off with his knife and thrown it into the fire piece by piece till the whole scroll is consumed. And in verse 24 of chapter 36, the reaction of those who witnessed this event is recorded. This is what it says. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. It is a damning response. God's word has been read in their presence, and their response to it, destroy it. And when it is destroyed, they show no fear. The king wanted to put an end to God's word delivered through Jeremiah the prophet, but God had other plans. As we read on in chapter 36 of the book of Jeremiah, we find out that God has Jeremiah and Baruch rewrite the scroll, and God's word would continue. And because God had Jeremiah's scroll rewritten, it is included in our Bibles for us to read. So how do we listen to God? Are we going to be like the king who listened to God's word and cuts it up and throws it in the fire? Or are we going to be like Jeremiah who listens to God's word, isn't always happy, but he listens to God's word and he does what God tells him to do? You see, we have the privilege as God's people, as we worship here at First Baptist Church, we have the privilege week by week as we attend worship to hear God's word read, to hear God's word proclaimed. And as we gather and listen, it is incumbent upon us to evaluate what we hear. And the question we need to ask is, did God really say that? Did God really say that? It's not about liking a sermon or what we have heard. It's not about whether we feel blessed, because God's word can and will make us feel uncomfortable, particularly when there is some sin issue in our hearts and God's word is addressing that sin issue. We're not going to feel good about that, because it's going to challenge us to repent and to come to God and to be cleansed and to be made whole. When we hear God's word, and we understand that it's speaking to our hearts and our lives, what we must do is embrace it with our lives and make it part of who we are, what we do, and what we say. There is a very interesting warning that comes to God's people, particularly to the church. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul is writing to Timothy, his young colleague, a man that he has mentored in ministry, a man who he is now considers one of his co-workers in the Lord, and whom he entrusts with sending out and to work amongst the churches. And he is writing to Timothy, and he says, there is a time coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people who embrace the word of God. Our desire should be and needs to be that we are a people who listen to what God says and then follow his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we do not walk in this world without your guidance. We thank you that through the prophets, your word has been written down and recorded for us in your word. We thank you that it has been preserved faithfully down through the millennia, and that today we can hold your word in our hands. Help us to be a people who embrace the word of God and who desire and long to hear it and to hear it proclaimed. And help us to be a people who, when the word of God speaks to our hearts and lives, embrace what you want us to do, to change our lives where it is necessary, to be more willing to serve you where you require. So, Lord, help us to learn to listen to you and follow your words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the praise team to come and lead us in a closing hymn. As we depart from this place, may we go with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.